Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're back to kick off another week with a great trip report. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Adam to talk about some great milestones celebrated at the Disney destinations. But first, a word from our great sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. This is the home of two great books for the Disney fan in your life. And even if it's you, you need to drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Again, two great books. You got The Wisdom of Walt, the original, that talks about Walt Disney turning his dreams into reality out in Southern California, out in Anaheim, the creation of Disneyland. But to get that dream done, he got the most out of those around him. And author Jeff Barnes gives us tips as to how to get the most out of those around us. You know, build better relationships with those friends, families, coworkers that we're surrounded by every day. And you also got the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focusing more on Walt Disney World and the Dream of Epcot. So check out these great books. They're in all kinds of versions. They're audio. You can get an ebook, and of course, you can get the old paperback copy and the hard copy, even signed by author Jeff Barnes. Check them out today. They're over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the price of about two chicken waffles over at Sleepy Hollow, you're getting 365 days of great information, and you just can't beat that. So check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1385 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. We are getting towards the end of September. Can you believe it? It is actually right now, other places than Orlando, Florida, it's actually starting to become Halloween season, almost. You know, it's been Halloween for 2 months down at Walt Disney World. But we can start getting ready to get some jack-o'-lanterns out and all that fun stuff. College football's back in swing. And, of course, the postseason in baseball is right around the corner. So great time for sports fans, but an even better time for a Disney fan because we're getting ready to talk not one, two Disney trip reports. So stand back. We're going to have a good time today. We got two guests on the line with us today. Going to be a lot of fun. So Adam and Lisa joining me from up in Exeter, New Hampshire, I believe. Right, guys? Is that where you're from?
Yep.
That's correct.
Nice. I know that we sent students that way in my gifted program. I think there's a school up there that was highly regarded with our schools here, our students here in St. Louis.
Phillips Exeter. It's basically right down the road from where we live.
Nice. Yeah, they always had, complimentary things to say. And I'll say, once we sent them up there, they never came back to St. Louis. It was interesting.
We have a habit of keeping them up here.
Yeah, like most people, when you leave St. Louis, you're like, I think I'll stay away. Yeah, we got a good baseball team. That's about it. But anyway, let's don't talk. This isn't the St. Louis Visitors and Convention Commission here. We're going to talk Disney. So, Adam, we've been talking, and you guys actually have just returned from Walt Disney World 2 days ago as this show releases, and we're recording it obviously before you head down to Walt Disney World, so you have another trip in the can. But let's go back to kind of where it all started for you guys for the first trip.
So we want to talk about a trip we actually took about 4 years ago, and I know your listeners are probably thinking, why are we talking about a trip 4 years ago? But don't worry, we'll wrap it all up in a nice bow at the end, we promise. It'll even be a pink polka dot mini bow. But to know the significance of that trip in 2014, you kind of have to know our story. So we wanted to start a family, and we had some difficulties doing so. We spent about 3 years trying to, have a child, and actually lost three pregnancies over the course of that time. So we wondered if maybe it was ever going to happen for us. We ended up turning to in vitro fertilization, and we ended up having a viable pregnancy that turned into our daughter, Lucy, who's now 3.5 years old. So when we found out that we were pregnant and it was going to be, it's going to carry all the way through to the end, we knew there was really only one place that we really wanted to celebrate that milestone, and that was our favorite place on Earth, and that's Disney World.
Wow. I love that story because, you know, that's why I love doing this podcast, especially on Mondays, because I truly have no idea what we're going to talk about. You know, I get like a little outline or like, you know, 2-3 sentences in an email. Hey, I got this idea. I want to come on the show. And for the record, I never turn anybody away. That's why when you email me today, it's like, oh, we can do it next October because I never turn anybody away. But, you know, I love hearing these stories because everybody has a celebration. Everybody has maybe something that they're overcoming or, you know, just a reason in life to celebrate. And Walt Disney World just tends for the folks listening to our show today. It's the place to go. So, wow, congratulations, you guys, because, you know, I think that through those struggles, it was probably such a sweet victory when you had your daughter.
Yes, it was very sweet.
Very much so.
It's been a great 3.5 years.
Yep. So what was it like? What was it like planning for that? Because, you know, it's like, you know, you're going through all the real life stuff, and you know, that's once it starts to come around where, you know, you're going to have a successful pregnancy and things are coming together, and now you're planning for a Walt Disney World trip. I mean, that's a lot going on all at once, I'd imagine.
A little bit. We planned during my second trimester, so there was kind of a lull. I hadn't hit nesting and I hadn't had my shower, so we were still working on a registry and all that good stuff. So we did have we planned it in 6 or 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Because back then with it just being the two of us, we didn't feel the need to go to character meals or anything like that. It was only our second time staying on the resort and it was our second time going on free dining. So there were still a ton of restaurants that we wanted to try out. So when we left, I was 27 weeks pregnant. So not too far, I mean, far along, but not into the third trimester. So we had a full summer of planning.
I will say, just as the man in the relationship when the wife's pregnant, because we went down when my wife was pregnant with Mallory. Gosh, she's going to be 11 in January, so it's been quite a while now. It's going way too fast because I started the podcast when she was 2 months old. That's crazy. It's nuts. But one of the best trips we ever took was when Pam was pregnant. That trip, because it forced us to slow down and just really soak in atmosphere, because I'm kind of like go type guy and then take a nap and then go back in the evenings and go again. But like this time we just chilled and God, it was a great trip because it forced us to slow down. Was it the same for you, Adam? Like, you know, maybe you're somebody that likes to keep going, but you had to really take it in this time.
You hit the nail on the head, Mike. I really am one of those people that likes to kind of go from start to finish. We don't necessarily get there at rope drop, but we're there as soon after rope drop as we can get there. And we're there until, you know, the last firework has gone off for the night. So we've been those people for years, going back even to when I was a kid going with my parents. But this trip, yeah, it was definitely much slower pace, much more relaxed. We were taking breaks in the middle of the day, so, you know, Lisa could go back to the hotel and grab a, you know, a nap or something, or a shower in the middle of the day, just, you know, take it easy. She'd find quiet spots or, you know, in air conditioning for the period of time when I was going on the thrill rides. I'd run and do Space Mountain or Big Thunder, or when we were at the Animal Kingdom, I did 2 rounds through the Expedition Everest just in the single rider line really quick, while she found a quiet place to sit and soak up the AC. So it was definitely a different trip for us, but it was no more a special trip. It,
you know, and that's the one thing I think a lot of times when you have a situation like this, you know, I've heard of folks that, I had a guest email me today as I was working and, you know, had an emergency surgery 12 days before they're going to Walt Disney World. And this is somebody that's on the running squad, runs half marathons, and had to experience the entire trip in a wheelchair. You know what? She came back and she said, at first, this was horrific. This was tragic. You know, like, how can this happen to me 12 days before going to Walt Disney World? And she got back and she said, you know what? It was an amazing trip in a very different way. She says, I didn't want to experience this way, but it was actually a great trip. So I think that it's all about mindset, right? When you think, Lisa, I mean, when you have to have clear expectations of what you're hoping to get out of the trip. But looking back 4 years now, was it what you were hoping to get out of this trip?
Oh, definitely. It was very enjoyable. Even though there were certain things I couldn't ride. And to this day, I still haven't ridden the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think that's what I'm the most sad about. But the other thing is, I mean, being pregnant, you're always looking at food. So I kind of turned more to the dining portion, and I was more excited about getting to sit at the table service meals and try all the cuisine that Disney has to offer. So, it was different. We did spend time with the characters, too, which we hadn't done in the past when it was just the two of us.
And had some great interactions with the characters.
No, so if looking at the food on your Disney trip's a sign of pregnancy, I better go get a test, because that's that's what I'm doing all the time, so I better be careful here. No. So you guys said you were going to free dining, and you got to have some experiences. So, I know we don't want to focus the whole show on this trip, but looking back 4 years later, any good dining experiences that you had that initially on that trip?
It was our first time eating at Ohana for dinner. Probably top five meals I've ever had in my entire life. One of those meals that everything down to the side dishes are just delicious even on their own. Just everything is so good about that food. And what was great was we took a late reservation because it was basically the only reservation we were able to get. It was at 9:30, I believe. So they sat us for our table and we're waiting for our, place our orders and everything. And all of a sudden the lights go down in the room and they start playing the music. It was the first night of the Halloween party for that year. Can you believe it? They actually started the Halloween parties in September that year.
Oh my gosh, that was so late. What are they thinking? They could have started in July, because that's 2020, yeah.
So they dimmed the lights and they played the Hallowishes music, and we could see the fireworks from our vantage point in the restaurant over the castle. It was something we didn't really expect, but it was a really great experience at Ohana that night.
So, wow, I guess it does pay to eat the massive quantities of food at 9:30 at night at Ohana. I just, that thing, and I love Ohana. I've been there a few times. I'm with you, Adam, on the side dishes. The side dishes are just as good as the meats, and the meats are great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so much. But that is a hard meal to eat that late at night. But, I mean, you got to go for it. You only live once,
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
So, any other highlights from that trip that you remember? And then we can hop on to the more recent trip.
Yeah, so a couple of really quick ones. When we first arrived in Magic Kingdom, our first day, I ran up to the city hall to get our I'm celebrating buttons. So, because we really never had a chance to celebrate a milestone such as this on any of our previous trips. So I went in and I spoke to the cast member at guest services and said, this is what's going on. This is our story. And she gave us not only I'm celebrating buttons, but she gave us happily ever after buttons, which I thought was really sweet, a really nice kind of extra touch.
We did
stop wearing them after a while because I think people thought we were newly married and maybe it was like a shotgun wedding situation. But so we decided against the happily ever after a while, but we kept the I'm celebrating buttons on. And that led to one of our other great interactions was we did a character meet and greet with Minnie at the animation courtyard back when that was still around. And so Lisa was giving the cast member, the photographer, our camera to have them take the picture for us. And I went up and gave Minnie a hug, and she pointed to my button and kind of was like making a gesture saying, "What are you celebrating?" So I just turned around and I pointed to Lisa's belly, and Minnie threw her hands up in the air and she was jumping. She was all excited. So we went to take the picture, and instead of Minnie standing in between us, she actually pulled Lisa to the middle. Minnie and I stood on either side and we put our hands on Lisa's belly, and that was the picture.
Nice.
That was
so cool.
It was completely Minnie's idea. So we had that picture. It's probably my favorite picture ever at Disney.
Yep, it's in our room.
It's in our room. Yeah, it's up in our room. Yes, so it's really special.
Well, it's one of those things that it's unexpected, but it's almost one of those things that you would see in a marketing campaign for Disney. But it's you. It's like it happened. Because I think that's the kind of moment everybody dreams of in their Disney vacation. That it's spontaneous and it's something unexpected, but it's awesome. And you guys got it right there.
That's exactly what it was.
Nice. All right. So, man, we could talk about you guys. So you guys, after that, you went on the Great Movie Ride. And then let's see, what else did you go? You go to Sweet Spell. I'm just thinking all the stuff that's gone now because it's 4 years ago.
We took a picture in front of the Sorcerer Hat.
There you go.
At Hollywood Studios.
Perfect. Nice. Things change too fast nowadays. All right. So let's talk about the more recent trip. So give us, where'd you guys stay on that trip? Let's talk a little resorts.
So in 2017, we went last November. It was the week of our daughter's third birthday. We actually stayed off site because there were 11 of us. My parents, Adam's parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, my two nephews, myself, Adam, and our daughter all went down. My sister and my brother-in-law drove with their sons from New York, and the rest of us flew down and met them. So we figured it may have been a little bit easier to take the kids off site. Sometimes there's a Disney overload And considering the kids were 5, almost 3, and 2.5, we kind of needed that break. So we did stay off site, but we did spend a significant time in the parks.
And what time of year was this? You said November, or is that right?
Yes.
It was the week right after Thanksgiving. So we actually flew out on Black Friday.
Yep.
And came back the first weekend of December.
Nice. That's a great time to be down. Let me tell you this, though. You said your daughter was 3. You're doing it wrong. You go when they're like 2 and 11 months and 25 days.
She actually turned 3 while we were there.
Okay.
So for the first part of the trip, and we didn't tell anybody she was actually turning 3 that day. It was more like, yeah, we're celebrating her 3rd birthday.
That's it. Yeah, you gotta hold on to 2 as long as you can. That's kind of a mantra in the Disney community, I think. You know, it's like, oh, you know, my daughter was 6 foot tall. You know, it's like, oh, you're 9? Yeah, you're just a tall kid. Dang my Disney experience, not everybody's birthdays nowadays. I know, it's such a drag. So, no, I'm just kidding. We didn't do that long. Everybody's done it, though, when you're a parent for at least, you know, at least 6 months. It's give or take. So tell us about, so you guys, going with extended family, though, that's a lot of fun. You guys, was that a unique situation?
It was crazy, but it was fun.
Yes, and we got to hand it to the kids. The kids did fantastic. There's always that fear of that, you know, Disney meltdown at, you know, mid-afternoon and on a hot day in the park, and the kids are miserable, they're crying, you can't, no matter what you do, you can't make them happy, and that never happened the entire time we were there. The kids were all just fantastic, and they really, really loved it. Every one of them, you know, got something out of it that they really, really enjoyed.
That's cool, because kids that age can be, you know, it's hit or miss, you know, especially when they're, you know, toddlers, because it's you're getting them out of the routines. They're in a, like you said, I mean, you made a great point, Lisa, that you can get overstimulated at Disney easily with toddlers. And sounds like you guys kind of found a good balance.
Yes. Yeah.
We did.
And there were a few days where we would go back. We didn't get to go back as early as we wanted to because things happen in the park. Lines happen, or you see a quick character meet and greet that you want to get in. But we'd go back and we'd spend maybe 2 hours back at our condo, and then we'd head back in for a night show. And we were very relaxed. We didn't rope drop in the morning. A lot of times we got there when we got there, but it was still fairly early. We would set a plan the night before, and I don't think we struggled with anybody getting up in the morning or getting ready or getting out of the condo.
Yeah.
We were lucky. We were 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, proximity pays in a situation like that, especially with a larger group. Now with a bigger group, not just your immediate family, planning is very important, because I'd imagine you guys said you didn't rope drop, so FastPass Plus was your friend. So, Adam, talk to us about getting all that coordinated so everybody was, you know, set up for success each day.
It's certainly a challenge when you're planning for, you know, making 9 fast passes, because we had the two-year-old that was turning 3 and the 2.5-year-old. So you're making 9 fast passes. It can be very difficult. I lucked out a few times. I remember I was at work one morning and I was just checking on my phone, and I happened to catch that there was a Frozen Ever After fast pass. I never thought I would be able to get one of those. And there was one available for first thing in the morning for 9 people. I snagged it immediately. I sent a screenshot and an email to Lisa, and I was like, so this just happened.
If this is an error with the system, I got a picture of it and we're going. That's what I would say.
Grab it.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was definitely a challenge, but we certainly did, you know, we did the rides that everybody wanted to ride. We went to Animal Kingdom and took the kids on the safari, and the kids loved the animals. You know, really excited to see that. We spent a lot of time in Fantasyland, you know, Small World, and Peter Pan, and Pirates, and all those rides that were really friendly for the whole family. And we had our oldest nephew, Blake, is 5, and he's a little bit taller, he's a little bit bigger than the others, and he was actually big enough to ride on some of the thrill rides, such as he went on Big Thunder.
Yep.
With us, and he went on Tower of Terror at Hollywood Studios. He loved that ride, and he thought it was really cool that it was really special for him, because he was the only one of the kids that got to ride these, you know, the big kid rides, the adult rides. So he really enjoyed that. He thought that was great.
I think that's a cool thing, too, about Walt Disney World is that even though, you know, like you said, I mean, that's what I call them, too, the big kid rides, the more thrilling attractions, that you don't have to be, you know, say if you're going to Six Flags, like if you want to ride the big ride, you got to be like, you know, a teenager before you're ever getting on any of those or even have the courage. I remember, you know, there were a couple upside down roller coasters that I didn't even want to ride on when I started high school. It's like, that thing's nuts. Like, no, thank you. But I mean, when you got things like Space Mountain or, you know, say a Big Thunder, I mean, it's that, it's an easy transition for the, you know, the kids that are tall enough, but, you know, still like upper elementary school, you know, elementary school age, to really kind of feel like, wow, I'm a big kid now. And it's so fun for the parents to get to see that.
Mm-hmm. We had those moments like, how is he going to react to this? Is he going to be all right? And he'd come off the ride with a smile from ear to ear, just beaming. He loved it.
So now, are you guys big Christmas fans? Because I'm a huge Christmas fan and I love it. And you guys were kind of there to that time of year, basically to really kick off the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had done a lot of research and I belong to a few Facebook groups that revolve around people who go down during the holiday time. So I knew what to expect. I had heard a lot of talk about what was down there. We didn't do a Christmas party, partially because there just wasn't enough time. But we took in as many of the other opportunities as we could with Epcot and Christmas Around the World, the Trail of Trees at Disney Springs, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the decorations. None of us had ever been down at Christmas time. I went one year at Christmas when I was a kid, but we're talking almost 30 years ago. So things were a lot different at Disney back then. So it was definitely, it was very exciting to be down there during the holiday time.
It really is. And especially, you know, it's hard to put, you know, we're getting towards the end of September. Of course, you know, we have Halloween for the next month. But, you know, our attention spans, I think, as Americans quickly turns to, you know, I think on November 1st, even outside of Disney, they're the worst about it. But I mean, I would rather wait till Thanksgiving or at least my birthday at the end of November until we start thinking about Christmas. But, you know, we'll be thinking about that. I'm sure the radio stations will switch over promptly after Halloween and so forth. But it's a great time if you've never been to go during the holidays. It's just, it's almost like it's a different place. It's got a different feel to it. And I'm one of those people that I cherish the memories I had at my grandparents' house with the Christmas tree, you know, Christmas cards on the mantle of their fireplace, the old Lionel train under the tree. I love that. Like, that's my thing. And going down to Walt Disney World, it's almost like having that experience again. Because in just because of how things are, we have a smaller house now. We don't have the means to decorate and have the extensive holiday experiences like we used to. But going to Walt Disney World always puts me like in a Hallmark movie. Is that kind of how you saw it, Adam?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Disney doesn't do anything small. They really don't. They go big all the time, and it's beautiful. The decorations are exquisite everywhere you go around the property. One of the, you know, the new things they did last year was the Sunset Seasons Greetings at Hollywood Studios, and you know, snow was falling on Sunset Boulevard, and images were being projected on the Tower of Terror, and it was fantastic. I mean, it was just something we didn't necessarily know what it was going to be like. We'd heard about it, but expectations reading about it really can't set you up for what it's going to look like. And that first sight when you see, you know, Woody and Buzz on the Tower of Terror and snow is falling all around you. And, you know, you're like, where are we? Are we in Disney World or, you know, is this, it's a Wonderful Life? It was amazing.
Exactly. You know, you bring up a great point because one of the things I'm always worried about, and Lisa, you mentioned this too, with like Facebook groups that promote, you know, very specific things. Like you said, a Facebook group that's talking about celebrating the holidays at Walt Disney World. I mean, who'd have thought that there would be a group for that? You said there were more than one. But, you know, I think that's interesting because I always want my guests and I always want anybody that goes down, a friend, a family member, whoever, just anybody that's investing the time and the money to go to Walt Disney World, because it's a cherished place for me. I love it. I've made so many memories there. But I always want the experience to meet the expectation. And I know expectations can be high because nowadays you could really not be surprised by anything in a way because of all the pictures, videos, and, you know, reviews on blogs and so forth. But you really have to feel, you know, you almost got to be there to feel the soap rain down on you on Main Street USA that's simulating snow. You got to actually feel the, you know, the trumpets and the, you know, the soldiers walking down Main Street playing the Christmas tunes. So it met the expectation for you guys because I just love it every time I'm down there. But I just wonder if some people might build it up so much that maybe it underwhelms them. And I sure hope not.
No, yeah, being from New England, it's great to see snow and not have to shovel it. or have it be 20 degrees. So I think the kids got a kick out of the fact that it was snowing, but they were in shorts.
Yes. I get a kick out of that. I love that. Like, that's the best. Here's my thing. I love palm trees with Christmas lights on them. That's my jam. Yeah. Like, I have Christmas ornaments of palm trees and Christmas lights. I think that is my wife thinks I'm just nuts, but that's like the coolest thing ever is a palm tree with Christmas lights.
It's something else. Yeah.
So talk to us about, well, you mentioned the studios. I just want to throw this in here because, again, I've been down there a few times for the holidays, for different events and so forth. And one of the things that I liked about the studios, because you really did bring this up, is that last year they knocked it out of the park on the decorations over at the studios. It reminded me of like a 50s Christmas, mid-century kind of feel to it. And I loved it. I hope they do that again because it kind of surprised me. All of a sudden, the studios was like the place to be for the holidays.
Yes.
It really did. They really went above and beyond with the decorations at the studios. I mean, the Magic Kingdom, you know, when everybody thinks Christmas at Disney World, you're probably thinking the Magic Kingdom, but the Hollywood Studios was just incredible. Like you said, Mike, the decorations were really spectacular, and they really made it feel like it was a, you know, down home kind of Christmas, and they knocked it out of the park, like you said.
All right, so let's talk a little dining. We did it with the first trip. You guys had a larger group this time. So what did everybody like? What went well for a larger group?
Well, we did do one table service. We did Chef Mickey's for our daughter's birthday. So that was our one table service meal. Everybody loved it. Mm-hmm. And that was during the time that Chef Mickey's had actually moved to the convention center at the Contemporary. So we weren't in their normal location. So there were a few bumps, but there was nothing that really took the magic away. And in the end, we complimented the cast members on how well they were handling it, because I had heard a few complaints about trying to keep the food warm and trying to get the food down, but we all had an excellent meal. I think everybody left full and happy that day. I don't think we ate dinner that night.
I don't think we did. No, and the character interaction was great with the kids. The Fab Five came around, and we got some great pictures. We have a picture of me holding Lucy up and giving Mickey a kiss on the nose. Those are the moments you can't ask for, but they're just so perfect. I said I was going to cry, like, ugly cry.
I know, I'm with you.
Taking care of for the first time, because I knew I was just going to be ugly crying. And it definitely came close to it on several occasions. I got choked up and very emotional, but that's what it's all about. Sharing those experiences. Disney has been such a big part of my life and Lisa's life, and it's a big part of our life together. And now we get to share it with Lucy. It's tearing up again.
As a dad, when you have daughters, you're gonna cry. If you don't, you don't have a heart. Let me just tell you, because I have two daughters. They make me cry sometimes for bad reasons. You know, it's like, oh, I can't believe you did that. What are you doing? But mostly
one way or another, you're going to cry.
Exactly. They're gonna make it. When you get the college bill, you'll cry. You're like, oh my god, can you just get a job and not keep going to school for the rest of your life? Let's figure this out. You don't have to be a neonatal surgeon. That's gonna be like 12 years. Like, let's just get a job. But anyway, too much. But it's a great time. So it was a great celebration. So what do you think? I mean, this is a really cool thing for your daughter. You know, third birthday, Walt Disney World. Is she still talking about it? I mean, I'd imagine that's something pretty special, even for her at that young age.
Oh, yeah. She thinks you go to Disney World every year on your birthday.
Well, see, there you go. It's just like the college thing. You're just going to be broke the rest of your life. You got to do it every year.
Oh, yeah. We've set her up this way, and now I don't think we can ever go back.
No, I think my nephews, too, they're saving their money because they want to go back.
Yep.
You could buy a Frosty at Wendy's, or, you could go to Walt Disney World, whatever. It's going to be a great birthday, That's what kids are helping out. So is this something that, like, the family kind of talks about? Because now you have this mutual experience, this great time, this holiday trip. I mean, I'd imagine that when you guys get together, you talk about it, and maybe you're planning on doing something like this down the road for maybe another milestone. I think there's always kind of a plan, even if it's not concrete and set in stone yet.
I think there's definitely an opportunity for that. I mean, for our family, we're, everybody that went had a great time. I mean, I think, Lisa, your brother-in-law, my sister-in-law's husband, was a little skeptical going in, and we know that he had a great time. And Lisa's father, my father-in-law, he doesn't necessarily like to leave the area. He's one of those people that's, you know, kind of really a stay-at-home kind of guy, but even he had a great time down there. There was something for him. There was something for everybody on that trip. I think it's something, you know, having my parents with this timeshare condo that we can share, going back again if we wanted to do so, it makes it easy. The accommodations are easy. So I think it's definitely doable for all of us again in the future. And we certainly had a great time on this trip, and there's no reason to think we wouldn't have it again.
Right.
So anything unexpected, though, that happened on that trip? Like, you know, sometimes people go down and, like, their favorite thing to do was, you know, like putt-putt, or the kids enjoyed swimming, or, you know, it's like you have these plans, you got great fast passes, you have an ADR or two that you're set up for, and what ends up being, you know, the favorite of some person in the traveling party is the pretzel they had in Tomorrowland. You know, it's like, what? Like, we spent all this money and that's your favorite memory? You know, and I get that so much, and it's that way for me, too. Sometimes, like, a live performance I see of the Philharmonic, you know, it's like, oh man, they killed it, you know, and that's what I remember from the trip, and that's like, no, wasn't even on my radar. So do you guys have any memories of anything like that happening for this trip?
My 2.5-year-old nephew loved the People Mover. He could not get enough of the People Mover. so that was his happy spot.
Lucy loved the teacups.
Yep,
Lucy went crazy on the teacups. I have a video of her in the teacup just laughing hysterically and falling over because the teacup was spinning a little too fast, but she was cackling, like, just so happy and loving it, and loving every second of it.
Yep.
Lucy loved the parade,
yep,
the Festival of Fantasy parade. Seeing Merida up on the tower, she really loved that. And Rapunzel, she's a big fan of princesses, so, you know, seeing Rapunzel and Snow White and Cinderella.
Our 5-year-old nephew was absolutely awestruck by the princesses. We have more photo pass pictures of him just staring in awe at the princesses.
That's awesome. You know, and that's, you know, a Festival of Fantasy, I gotta, you know, give that parade its due, that if you are anybody who, you know, from a 2-year-old up to a 92-year-old, anybody that's a Disney fan, that is a great opportunity. The way they design those floats where they're a little bit taller, but they're, the characters are just, like you said, I mean, it's like you could almost reach out and touch them. There's such an interactive element to that parade more than any other. And I think it's the design of the floats, but and it's got catchy music and it's very visual, but I love that parade. It's one of those things I like to go back in the middle of the afternoon and take a break, but I sacrifice that parade. So once a trip, I make sure I see it.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. It's on our list of things to do on our upcoming trip is, you know, carve out a spot to grab a seat on Main Street, USA, and watch the Festival of Fantasy Parade.
All right, so as we wrap this up, it's been two great trips, a lot of fun today, but it went quick, man. I love talking Disney. So anything you could tell the listeners that, you know, maybe one more surprise from either one of these trips, or just some advice for somebody that's moving forward in a situation like yours to just make the most of that next Disney vacation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you're going as, you know, a couple that may be expecting, definitely take your time. Don't press, don't rush, you know, do things that make you comfortable, but give yourself the opportunity to have the most fun you can. Take advantage of air conditioning when you can find it. Just, you know, make it all about you. Make it all about, you know, making sure you're comfortable, but having the most fun at the same time. And then when it comes to bringing kids, just cherish every moment, because, you know, to be able to share that with a child. I mean, let's face it, Walt Disney World is a very expensive vacation. As much as we love it, it is pricey. So if you don't get to go that often, just take advantage of every moment. Never take any of it for granted. Just soak up everything you can while you're there. Take as many pictures as you can. Ride as much as you can. Eat as much as you can. Just take it in.
I so agree. Every time I'm there, you know, there's long lines sometimes. Sometimes it's super hot in the summer, but you just got to step back and say, how lucky am I that I get to be at this kind of a place with the people I love? You know, and I think when you look at it that way, things are great. I mean, we're truly blessed to get to do what we do.
You said it best.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great way to kick off a week. And hope you had a great time on your trip that you just got back from.
Thank you for having us, Mike. And I did say I was going to wrap everything up with a big bow at the end, going back to the 2014 trip. This upcoming trip that's happening in a few days from when we're recording is Baby Moon number 2.
Yes!
We're expecting another little princess.
Oh, so. My gosh. You're in... Oh. two daughters, I can tell you. Good
so
luck.
So we'll be taking it easy and eating a lot of food again.
That's the best guy. I want to come along with you guys. I'll have to.
There's plenty of room.
Yeah, I know.
Those are bigger at Pop Century, so there's plenty of room.
Hey, I know where you're staying. I happen to know that. So, yeah, that'll be awesome.
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, congratulations, you two. It's going to be awesome, and the cycle begins again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing that story. It's been great. So don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of line. See the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. Drop by today. See all the great services they offer at touringplans.com. And don't forget two great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. One focusing on Disneyland, the other focusing on Walt Disney World and more. It's a story of Walt Disney and how he got the most out of those around him. So if you need a good read here in late September, go back to school yourself. Check out the books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And drop by the Facebook group. We got a lot of great conversations going on there. Videos, pictures, all the breaking news from Ricky, all that kind of stuff. Just drop by Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And thanks again to everybody who supports the show with your purchases on Amazon. Just go through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. The next time you buy something you probably don't need. All right, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. Thank you so much for allowing us to do this podcast. I love getting to hear stories like this. This is awesome. It's a virtual trip to Walt Disney World. Love answering your questions. Love talking Disney topics, but couldn't do this without you. So thank you so much. So for Adam and Lisa, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.